he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and in living spread the holy name around. So on the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Haridas Thakur, this inscription was placed there under the guise of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur to give us a clear understanding that a Vaishnav doesn't die. A Vaishnav lives eternally. And when they're here in the material world serving the Lord, they are living. And when they leave their body, they go someplace to do the same thing. It's not. Death is not for the Vaishnavas. Death is for the materialists who think that there's body and live for the enjoyment or for the propagation of the body. But the devotee doesn't live for the body. We live for the eternal principle of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is not under the influence of the material energy. So therefore, a devotee never dies. They simply go from one place to another. And ultimately, they go back home, back to Godhead. So when we want to speak a little bit about the glories of a particular devotee who has departed, we have to understand this principle that death is not for the devotee. It's for those who live for the body. The body needs to be taken care of as you take care of a machine that you need to do your work with. But that's all. It's a good machine. And it requires care. It's a complex machine, requires care. But it's not that the body can give us happiness. The body cannot bring happiness. The body is a miserable thing that causes us so many problems. There's no happiness attached to the body. But we have a body, and Prabhupada said that to have a body is a bad bargain. You go to the store and you go shopping, you buy the wrong thing, and on the package it says, we don't accept returns. You're stuck with it. That's the body. You got it, you're stuck with it. Now you have to use it in the best way. So he said, use the body in the best way, and that is to engage it in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the body will be a way to reach the platform of eternality. It's like there's an old saying where if you step on a thorn, this is very common in India, if you step on a thorn and it's stuck in your feet, you look for another thorn somewhere on the ground and you take that thorn and you pull out that other thorn with that thorn and then you throw both thorns away. So the thorn is stuck, goes into your problem, you use another thorn to get rid of the problem and then you get rid of both. So it's like that. We have the body to bring us back to the eternal world, and then when we are fully free from body conceptional life, we have no need for the body anymore. It's a good vehicle to get us there, but it's all it is a vehicle. So those who give up the body in Krishna consciousness, they live forever, eternally in the Supreme Lord's spiritual realm. So one such person who just recently departed was a very dear devotee, where thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe tens and thousands of devotees had contact with him on a personal level, having come to Sri Dham Mayapur and had his association, heard his classes, and saw the results of the wonderful service that he had done, both for the devotees and for the Supreme Lord. This person was Pankajangri Prabhu, who was even acknowledged by Srila Prabhupada. There's a discussion with Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was talking to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, these two boys who are now in Mayapur, Janani Vas, and they are right out of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, they are ideal. And then the discussion goes on, and Prabhupada says a few more things that Krishna has sent the devotees to do this wonderful service. So they, Prabhupada acknowledged that they were special. They had come to do this work, to develop Sridhar Mayapur. And really, when you look at it, the history of Mayapur sends around these two brothers who came from London. Janati Vas came in 1972, and then later on followed by Pankajangri in 1973. Both took initiation from Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur and had dedicated their entire life in serving Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Astasaki, along with Panchatattva. And especially for Pankajangri, he was the main pujari for Lord Nrisimhadev. In 1984, the devotees got attacked by some gundas who were quite heavily armed also. And they came into the temple and they were causing so much problems. They wanted to take away Radharani, they wanted to take away Srila Prabhupada's deities and other. So the devotees fought back. The devotees had some guns, and a couple of dacoits were killed, and one devotee lost his leg in the fight. And that devotee is a sannyasi in our movement, Bhakti Raghava Swami. They were actually looking for Srila Prabhupada. They wanted to do harm to Prabhupada, but fortunately Prabhupada wasn't there. And many devotees went to jail because of that. So that was a big issue. And then some devotees decided that we need Lord Nrisimhadev here. And so they commissioned one very senior devotee who was a South Indian Brahmin, very advanced, Atmatattva Prabhu. And he, you know, he knew South India good, came from South India and knew many of the temples. So he went on a mission to try to get, and they wanted not only a deity of Nrisimhadev, they wanted the fiercest of all deities, who comes right out of the pillar. So Lord Nrisimhadev has 9 manifestations of forms that are called Ugra. So his Ugra form comes in 9 different levels of ferocity, up to the level where he's just bursting out of the pillar and all he sees is Hiranyakashipu. That's the most fiercest one, and that's the one they wanted. Atmatattva Prabhu went, and everybody said, no, we're not going to make this deity. This deity isn't, we're not going to make it. Finally, the original person that he went to, he went back to him, and the man said, yes, actually, my spiritual master, who was a Sankaracharya from South India, the Sankaracharya from South India, he said you should make it. But then again, it took a long time. And he had to find the right rock to make the deity, because the rock has to be a living rock, not just any old rock. It has to be a Shila, which is living, and it has to have a bug line across its body where a bug eats the granite going across the body. When you find that mark by the bug and you hit the deity in 9 places and it makes a sound, that rock can be used to carve, not any old rock. And so that took a long time to find. The Sankaracharya finally found it, and finally he made the deity. And that deity was taken back. And then Pankajangri immediately agreed, even before the deity came, that he would be the pujari to take care of that deity. And so that is the Ugra Nrisimha deity that is there now in Mayapur. Very powerful, powerful deity. Really powerful. Just when you take darshan of that deity, you can feel his presence is so strong. And he is very instantly merciful. He gives many benedictions to his devotee. And Pankajangri Prabhu has compiled a small little book where he describes the incidences that devotees have communicated to him of how they've had interactions with this deity, how he has come in their life and saved many people from illness, so many things. Lord Nrisimhadev was there to help the devotees. And ever since Pankajangi was there, he would accept requests around the world from devotees to do special pujas for devotees who were sick or devotees who needed help. And then he would arrange for these pujas for Lord Nisringadeva's. And I remember I was there, we did one for Jayapataka Maharaj when he was very sick. It was really an elaborate sacrifice with much mantra chanting, which lasted for hours. So he was always forefront of arranging for Lord Nisringadeva to offer sacrifices to. He dedicated his life to serving Lord Nisringadeva. But he wasn't simply relegated to Lord Nisringadeva. He would travel also. He came here, we also know. And he came to London, he came to many other temples in Europe also to preach Krishna consciousness and to also to bring Lord Nityananda's lotus feet in different places in order to... that was Jnanivas who did that. But Pankajangri would also come and preach Krishna consciousness in different places around the world. So he was a preacher. I had the good fortune to live next to him when I was in Mayapur. I was on there's one building very near to the temple called the Senior Brahmachari Ashram, where brahmacharis who are very senior in either in age or in practice of Krishna consciousness had special privilege to live in that particular building. So I had my room. I have a special room there that I always get every time I go there. And it's right next to Pankajangri's. So when I would see him quite often. He would be coming in and out doing his service to Radha Madhava or to Lord Nisringadeva. But many times when I would pass by his window, I would see him. He would sit there reading Bhagavatam. He spent much time, I think, whenever he was in his room, he was always reading Bhagavatam or chanting, either one. He loved Bhagavatam, he preached Bhagavatam, and he glorified Bhagavatam, and he was a regular class giver of Bhagavatam in the regular weekly schedule. So he was very absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, aside from all the services he had. I had the good fortune to be, and we would talk many times, very lighthearted talk. And sometimes he would speak to me about, things that are going on in Mayapur. And I remember in the morning program in Mayapur, they would have two parts to the morning program. Just like we do everywhere. At the end of Tulsi Puja, then the devotees break up for japa, and then the second half begins. And the second half begins with an arti to Lord Nisringadeva. And everyone gathers in front of Nisringadeva's altar. And then after we greet Nisringadeva and sing the Nisringadeva prayers, we go to Radha, we go to Panchatattva's section and greet Panchatattva with that song that you sing here. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Kora More Toma Bina Kedayalu Jagat Samsa. So beautiful, and then there'd be hundreds and hundreds of devotees in front of Panchatattva singing that. And then after that, we would go back to Radha Madhava's section and wait for the deities to appear. And then the curtains would open and everyone would pay their obeisances. And then kirtan would start. And doing that, then Srila Prabhupada would get on his Vyasa's son, the small deity. And Jnanivas would take the deity off the altar and put it onto the palanquin. And then they would take the deity in front of Radha Madhava, and then Prabhupada would get Charinamrita, and then they would go to Nisringadeva's altar, and there would be Pankajangri standing right at the front of the altar with the padapitas of Lord Nisringadeva, his lotus feet. And so then Prabhupada would come up and they would give him Charinamrita and then he would move on and then Prabhupada would circumambulate the whole temple and then there would be kirtan going on for about 15 minutes. So right after Prabhupada would get the mercy from Lord Nisringadeva, all the sannyasis that were there, we would line up and go up and get, you know, the parapitas on our heads also. It's happened every day. But I knew one thing, and of course, I don't know, I don't think anybody else did it, but I was kind of sneaky. I knew on the top of the parapitas, Lord Nisringadeva kept some special tulsi leaves that were right on his lotus feet. So when I would go up, sometimes I would be the first one, depending, sometimes not, I would always go to Janani Vas. I mean, Pankajanga, I would go like this. He knew what I meant. Then he would take the tulsi leaves off the parapita and he would give them to me. And sometimes it would be a bunch of tulsi leaves. And as soon as I get it, everybody would run up to me, practically knocking me over, you know. Trying to get some of those tulsi leaves. Coming right from the lotus feet of Lord Nisringadeva. Jai ho! Happy Father's Day. Surya Kanya had a baby today, so congratulations. What's her name? Avaduti? Avadutini, okay. Congratulations. Now you can get presents on Father's Day also. So, yeah, he would always give me those tulsi leaves. Sometimes he would look at me like, okay, he'd give them to me. Like, and then I would always be happy like that. So he was special. He would be very merciful giving out the tulsi leaves. And we spent much time together. I guess the time where we had the most experience is when we would be in kirtan. We would be in the temple in the evening and kirtan would be going on and I would be there with the Bengalis dancing and we'd have kirtan and they loved to dance and the kirtan would be going on. And then when the kirtan would start building, it happened all the time. Janani Vas and Pankajangri, sometimes both of them, sometimes one of them, would just jump into the kirtan. It would always come when the kirtan was roaring and they would jump in. And then that would make the kirtan even more ecstatic. And they would do their famous dance. If you ever seen them dance, you'll think, what kind of dance is this? This must be what they do in the spiritual world. They have their own very graceful and very sweet expressions of hands and arms movement that you cannot copy at all. It's not possible to copy it. So unique and so very wonderful to watch. I have a video which I didn't bring tonight of that. I was supposed to bring it, right? But I didn't bring it. It's on my phone, actually. You can get it off my phone and put it up there. We can show it. But I don't know how to do it. Huh? Yeah, it was in India. They were doing the Nisringa dance. Let's see if we have time at the end. It's only I think it's about a 4 minute. It's 4 minutes, the video, something like that. But they would love to dance, and then we would all be dancing together. They were just so very, very, very enthusiastic, and despite all the services they had, because they had to manage the whole Didi department. And of course, they put some other devotees in charge of doing other things, but then you had Radha Madhava with the 8 Sakis, and then you had Panchatattva 2 times. You had small Didis plus the large Didis. There were 10 Didis on that altar. And then you had little Radha Madhava, plus you had Lord Chaitanya. So on the main altar, you had 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 deities on the main altar, Panchatattva altar, they had 10, that's 24 deities. And then Lord Nisringadev, they had Prahlad Nisringadev, that's 26. And you had Srila Prabhupada's deity, so 27 deities, and maybe even a few more that I missed. You know, that's the responsibility they had to manage to make sure all the deities got everything. And so they were there. You could see them. They would be there for the Guru Puja. They would be there for the Sringa Aartis. Many times they'd be there for the Mangal Aartis. And they were giving class. Both of them would give class. So they were very, very enthusiastic. And very personal. You could approach them and speak to them, and devotees would feel very... And they gave so much blessings, benedictions, associations. And Pankajankri was very enthusiastic to preach. He just was always looking for opportunities to spread Krishna consciousness. So that was one of his main qualities, that besides all the responsibilities he had... Many times we would gather at, what is it called, that Jagannath temple just down the road. I think it's called Raipur? Yeah. Rajpur. Yeah, and then Pankajankri would sit sometimes for like a couple hours speaking the pastimes of Jagannath. Because those deities were gotten by Jaipataka Maharaj in 1979. And brought into ISKCON. They had been neglected, but where they were being served before. And the pujari could no longer take care of them, so he gave them to us. And those deities, there are so many stories of how devotees had interaction with those deities. They're just very, very personal. So Pankajankri would hear all the stories, and then later on he would sit down and tell us for like an hour or 2 hours, just telling of all the experiences that the devotees had with these deities. If you haven't seen these deities, you walk there, you're in the presence of Lord Jagannath. He's just so powerful. It's like, whoa. So they were also helping to manage that temple in setting up devotees there to keep the worship of Jagannath going, which is now going really nicely and elaborately with wonderful offerings and wonderful, wonderful pujas and dressings. So they really, between the two of them, they really made Mayapur what it is today in terms of very powerful force of spiritual practice. Of course, we're going to miss Pankajankri, because it seems like something is lost now, that something is important is no longer there. But Lord Nisringadev, he had his reasons, and for whatever reason, and he arranged nicely that Pankajankri could come back to Mayapur and depart in the Holy Dham. He was in the hospital in Calcutta, but somehow it was arranged. And when he came back, it was just right practically the next day, or not a little bit after, then he started to depart. And he departed at a time of the day which is the most auspicious time. I was talking to Nisringatirtha, who's there, and he was telling me that the devotees were saying, this time is the most auspicious time for departing. It was 12:15 in the afternoon, just past noon, when he departed the world. And Jananivas, although losing his very dear brother and brother and godbrother, he was in a very happy mood. And he also said, I know he went back to Godhead. So we can see exemplary life of him, of Pankajankri, in so many ways. It's just like when you think of Mayapur, you think of these two brothers. It's just, they're inseparable. And they gave their life to make that entire temple what it is today, which is really a flourishing temple. Their dedication, their purity, their service, everything. And both of them were personal friends of mine. I would spend time talking to them and just, of course, whenever they had time, but they usually always had time to spend with the devotees. Now, this is a little bit about the life of Pankajangri. I don't know a lot of details because my only experience with them was generally when they were in Mayapur. And there are many, many, many wonderful stories. I know Pankajangri was offered sannyas, I think in, I can't remember what year. And, you know, when you're a sannyasi, you have to carry a danda. He said, I'm carrying a bell, and I'm carrying ghee wicks and a incense, that's all I can carry. So in other words, his desire was to keep doing his puja service to the Lord like that. But he was more than a sannyasi in the sense that he was also preaching and showing the perfect example of Krishna consciousness like that. Both of them stayed brahmachari their whole lives. So this is really... And I know for sure, and these are side stories which I don't usually talk about, there were many ladies attracted to them and wanted to make them into grihasthas. But they weren't interested. I had to intervene and tell one of the ladies to get lost. Because they were becoming too much, you know. But there is, you know, when you are a celibate, you're attractive. Ladies are attracted to celibacy because most guys are interested in enjoying women. But when women see men who are not interested in enjoying women, they are attracted to that. That's a natural attraction for women. But they were not only celibate, but they were great devotees, very kind, very qualified in everything they did, very personal. There was one time in my Krishna consciousness that I would go and I would eat lunch with them every day. And then we would have the Nisringa Maha, Lord Nisringa Dev's Maha Prasadam coming right off the altar. We get the whole plate. Huge. And it was like, whoa, you know. So I think my Krishna consciousness really shot up during that time. Of course, we could only eat so much, but it wasn't something I think I did for about 2 weeks. I think I invited myself to come, but they didn't mind. So that was wonderful. Yeah, we would spend time just... So it's a great loss for the entire society, not only for Mayapur, because they were known and loved throughout the world as ideal devotees who had sacrificed everything to bring Krishna consciousness to Mayapur. And although Prabhupada only knew them for about a year or two, Prabhupada already could see that these two boys were very special. He indicated that in his discussion with Tamal Krishna Goswami. So these are some of the things that I can remember. Most of our exchanges were philosophical. We would talk about philosophy. Or sometimes that we would be giving classes together, or we would be dancing together. That's basically our association, like that. So, and Pankajangri, although afflicted with disease, he never felt depressed. He always remained lighthearted, even when he was in the hospital. When he could communicate it, he was always Krishna conscious and not burdened down by any bodily ailments like that. Very transcendental. Any questions? Comments? Anything that anyone would like to add?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is a question from Avadhuta Raidas. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. I heard in one lecture that Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't doubt that we will meet again in the spiritual world." Does this only refer to his disciples or also to his grand disciples?
He said we will have our ISKCON in the spiritual world. So that means everybody. Prabhupada will be there and you'll come and he'll greet you and then he'll... The cowherd boys and the gopis will show you where to go. Well, Prabhupada said, we will have an ISKCON in the spiritual world. That's an exact quote. Yeah. Yeah. This, once you connect with the spiritual family, it's eternal. It's not something, like you meet people in this world, you see them, and then it's gone, you know. Tamal Krishna Goswami said, I want to be one of the first to leave so I can be there and greet the devotees as they come back. He said that, yeah. He was serious. And he did leave quite early. So, yeah. Death is for the non-devotees, as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. With the rising and the setting of a sun, another day is lost and one is closer to death, except for those who engage in hearing the pastimes of the all-good personality of Godhead. So one who engages in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, they live forever. We live forever anyway. You can't die. Even if you want to die, you can't. You are eternal. You have to live someplace. Where? That's up to your desires and activities. You are telling the Lord where you want to be and what you want to do. And so the Lord puts you in a place. But if you want to engage in hearing and chanting His glories and serving the Lord, then wherever you are, you'll do that. And that's the spiritual world. And when you become perfect, then you actually enter into the actual spiritual world. So that's the formula. Hear and chant the glories of the Lord, serve the Lord and serve the devotees that are serving the Lord. Okay, any other questions? Anywhere? Comments? Well, I can't believe tonight somebody has to say something about Japunkajangri. If you're all going to sit there quiet after, you know, we have to say something about him. Because some of you know him, some of you met him, some of you had interchanges with him, some of you heard about him. So you can't all be quiet. It's not fair to everybody. You have to speak. Even if you said hello to him, tell us about it. Ananta, tell us about your experience.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu ki
Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj, for sharing your experience and thoughts. As we know, His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu was also visiting Slovenia a few times. 3-4 times, maybe even more.
Here?
Yeah. He was attending our yatra program in the hills.
Oh, nice.
And also padyatra, I think. A little window, bro? Padyatra also. And yes, we remember him for. He was very, very, how to say, personal. You can approach him if he was not, you know, he didn't get the feeling, you know, some very, you know,
yeah.
With the, first with the position, you know, Prabhupada disciple, and, you know, cannot approach. He was really so approachable and simple-minded, like a child. He was really, you immediately could connect with him and, you know, he was a very warm person to associate and be with. So it's...
He was naturally friendly.
Yes, yes, yes. And encouraging. He was always, you know, they always come approach with some problem or something. He was so naturally, you know, fatherly like, you know, it was. It was not in like awe and reverence, but was like, he came down, you know, and to encourage and, you know.
Yeah, that's a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava doesn't put themselves on any special platform. They just interact with the devotees accordingly. That's all.
And my personal experience was also that when I went to Mayapur, and then he was meeting so many devotees, you know, thousands and thousands, and it was really, how to say, really heart-touching when he remembered you. I mean, myself, you know, or Ananta, you know, come from some, you know, small village in Slovenia. And, you know, he was recognizing and, you know, and immediately share something from there, you know, how it was in Slovenia. And that, so it was really very
nice.
Personal. Yeah.
Yeah, very personal.
I also had one opportunity to take prasadam with Pankajangri and Janivas in their quarters behind the Panchatattva.
Yeah. Special little place.
Yeah, it's very, very special.
Did you get Nrisimha Maha?
I think yes. So and I also had opportunity to associate when I was studying Mayapur Academy. I was there for 6 months. About deity worship, and he and Johnny Vasprabhu, they are part of organizing that.
They actually
training.
They started it along with Nishimaka
Yeah, exactly.
They're the ones that made that, which was a real. I forgot to mention that every year, from October to March, 6 months, you learn all the intricacies of deity worship and cooking also.
Yes.
Like that. And at the end of the 6 months, they have a graduation ceremony, give out certificates. Mm-hmm. We honor each devotee. And some devotees are given outstanding acknowledgments for their, you know, for their studies and how they did. It's really wonderful. Mm. Yeah.
So he had his association in that, you know, environment. He was, you know, showing on the altar like that and that. So it's really like a experiential learning, you know, from someone who was, you know, so many years, you know, pujari, you know, of the Radha Madhava, Lord Nrisimhadeva. Was really, really very deep impression. Makes very deep impression. And appreciation and mercy that we were able to be in, you know, their association and get catch the mood, their mood, mm-hmm. and simplicity and all the other wonderful qualities of the Vaishnava, you know. That's
yeah, when you were in their association, it's like a different world almost. It's so sweet and simple.
This is a few crumbles.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Lalit Govinda, speak something.
Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. My English is not practical, so I cannot, how to say, share with you everything I feel anyway. So I remember when we were in a Mayapur Yatra with His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And always, especially Pankajangri, came to join to some places. And then we saw how God brothers, Srila Prabhupada disciples, love each other. Mm. So it was so touchy. Mm. So to see, they were speak, they would embrace, they will, I think, also cry, and they will sing and dance. So nice, so sweet.
Yeah,
so this is spiritual love between devotees. Mm. So I can share with you only this.
Yeah, that's the spiritual. That was so the Mayapur mood.
Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya taught that mood. He was very loving towards his disciples. Very loving. Lord Chaitanya, even when, you know, he would even embrace his disciples too. He was very personal. Yeah, it was like that. Someone said to Prabhupada, some people come to the Dham to try to enjoy the Dham. And Prabhupada said, yes, the Dham is for enjoyment. It's the spiritual world.
I got one, Maharaj. You know, when Pankajangri Prabhu was on Padayatra, this was my... I was starting, you know, with Bhakti Yoga, and when we were in Velenia, this is one town, not far from here. I mean, it's like, and we were he was having a lecture in this gym when Lalita Govinda Prabhu was arranging that we were, and that's the only lecture I heard from him. And when he was speaking about Lord Chaitanya, he said that he's the most merciful incarnation. He was starting to cry, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, we were just. I couldn't believe that he really starts crying.
Yeah, he's feeling the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada did the same thing. He was crying when he would speak about Lord Chaitanya. He's very merciful. Yeah, I mean, he had that realization, being so intimately connected with Lord Chaitanya in his service. I remember, like, when they installed the big deities of Lord Panchatattva in 2004. And then they had a grand Abhishek, and you can see it on film. And then they planned every 5 years to do this grand Abhishek for the Gaur Purnima festival. So they did again in 2009. 2014, and each time I was watching all three of them, I was there. So then 2019 came, and I said, I'm not going to watch this one. I'm going to bathe. I'm going to get on that altar and bathe. And so, and they were choosing who would go up there, but they didn't choose me. But I went up anyway. And then, you know, I think it was Jnanivas was there, and he saw me, and he said, yeah, come on. So I came. And I remember, you know, walking behind the deities. It was impossible to walk because the floor was full of Charinamrita, and we were sliding all over the place. You had two brahmacharis trying to hold you so you wouldn't fall. And finally I got to, they gave me Advaita Charya. So I took my position above the head of Lord Dvaitacharya. And then Lokanath Swami, he came next to me, and so we shared bathing, and I was picking these pots up, and these pots are huge, and they're filled with Charinamrita. You know, I'm just this skinny kid, you know, and I'm trying to pick up these pots, but I was so happy to be there that even though my body was falling apart, I was loving it. We were just pouring all this. And they were changing pujaris for what, they kept changing, and I stayed there anyway. I didn't get off. But I think it was the mercy of Jananivas who allowed me to sneak on and get it. So that was, yeah, so they were very, both of them were very kind. Yeah. Prabhupada said, Mayapur, he said, the sun in Mayapur is not the same sun you see everywhere else. Now figure that one out. Because every day you watch the sunrise in Mayapur. And Prabhupada said, that's not the same sun that everybody else sees. So Prabhupada has spiritual vision, so. Of course, I've never really realized that myself, but it looks like the sun to me, the same old sun I see everywhere else. Prabhupada said it's not, it's a different sun. So it's, so Mayapur is like very special. And we just hope that the tradition of devotion, well, it will continue to go on. It's just a very, very special place. And it was made special by the devotion of these two devotees. I think Pankajangri was 77 when he departed. He wasn't young. He didn't look 77 and he didn't act 77. He acted quite young, but he was elderly. He was 77 years old. Yeah, but he was still dancing. Anybody else have any association there with him? No. So Madhatri, did you see him when he came here?
I didn't spoke a lot with him. I know and I remember I like because he was alive, always action and always smiling and always, this I remember, yes.
Yeah, he's always alive. I have that little video on my phone. Is there any way we can put it up there from my phone? I don't know how. I think so. Somebody sent it to me. I have it on my computer too, but the computer's not here. Want to give it a try? Yeah, it's interesting.
So Maharaj, there's one more.
Yeah.
This same Avadhuta Rai Prabhu is asking, I mean, he's like just, I cannot remember well, there is a story that Narasimhadev came to the bed of Pankajangri Prabhu shaking his bed. So that's a question mark. He got up at night time, he went to the temple in Gamsha to pay his obeisances. Is that, he's asking if that is...
There is another story where one brahmachari had that experience. I think it's the brahmachari, yeah. Lord Nrisimhadev appeared to that brahmachari. And he was sitting on his bed. The devotee woke up and there was Lord Nrisimhadev sitting on his bed. And he said to the brahmachari, when you wake me, you shine that light in my eyes. Don't do that. And the devotee just jumped out of his bed. And he wasn't in a gumshoe, he was in his kopins. He ran into the temple and devotees were looking at him like, what happened to him, you know? Yeah, Pankajangri tells that story. It wasn't Pankajangri, it was some brahmachari that was doing seva on the altar.
Even he still has the marks on his shoulders.
Yeah, Lord Nisringadev put his hand on his shoulder, and he felt like the whole weight of the world came on his shoulder. In the words of one very senior devotee, you don't mess with Lord Nisringadev. He is very heavy. You have to be very, very, very careful around him and be very humble and very, very expert in doing your service.